A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
Center of the galaxy, this is a Force Center podcast feed. I am Ken Napsa.
I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I am Jennifer Landa.
Hey, all right. Jennifer's back. Jennifer.
I'm back.
A little week off. Was it a relaxing week? No, but a week off nonetheless.
Was like an undercover mission that went awry.
Well, if only we could find out more. Hey, everybody, this is the Force Center crew. We're here to talk Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. And one of those weeks where, yeah, again, we say, hey, yeah, not enough news, but a real wonderful story we can't wait to talk about up top here. Some High Republic news, a very special this day in Star Wars history. Before we get to all of that, or I fall asleep, I'll explain more later. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, our ForceCenter recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Before we do that, as always, we'd like to catch up or pre-apologize for sounding tired. All those good things going on. Jen, you're back. How's life? How's Star Wars?
Star Wars is a lot.
That could have been the name of our podcast.
Exactly. Italicized a lot. Yeah. I did have some Star Wars adventures this week. The ones I shall share are I made Cyril's cereal bars. Ooh. It was on StarWars.com. It was a recipe inspired by Cyril Karn's cereal that he eats in episode. I forget which episode it was, with his mom. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's like Rice Krispie treats, but with this, I don't even remember what brand it was. It was like this Kix kind of cereal, but it was purple and green and blue. And I made it and my kids loved it. They've been asking for it. I was like, I can't keep this. They're going to want to keep eating it. So I ended up throwing the rest away because it was just, they wouldn't stop. So that was a hit. I highly recommend that recipe on StarWars.com.
I saw it. Did you tell your kids, I intuited that you want the cereal.
I love that. You know, she pushes all the food toward him and you had to pull it away. Total opposite.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. And another thing was, you know, you can never have too many Grogu's, as it turns out. No. And I learned, I've been trying to find a Grogu that you can pose more. Like, you can dress up, you can move his little legs. And I've been seeing some on Etsy that are really pricey. I'm not going to buy that. But I saw one at Target, and I got it. You can pose the little legs. It has these adorable little feet. Because if you guys remember the first one that they released, it was just like a little sack. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Its body was just like a little sack, no shape to it. So basically it was just this Grogu head on a potato sack. So now Target has one with posable legs and feet, and that went into the cart. I purchased it. It's on its way Friday. I think I buy these toys for me more than my kids.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Absolutely.
That's definitely true of me since I don't have children or even any pets to try to claim. They wanted this action figure.
My kids are a cover for my toy obsession.
Hey, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, now, is this Grogu? Yeah. Is that's different than the shoulder sitting one, right?
Yes. Mm. Yes, exactly. How many Grogu's can we have? I have the sack one. I have a small one that you squeeze and it makes noises. I have the one that can do the force where you touch its little head and it goes, ah. I did not get the shoulder one because I was like, that's just going too far for me. I would just wear it around the house. And now this one with the posable little legs and feet.
See?
Who knows what else?
I love it.
That is just beautiful. I enjoyed one of your TikToks at Target, including... You just zipped by, you know, the toy aisle to what you were interested in, but I had to figure out how to pause your TikTok because there's a Boba Fett I wanted that was in the background. It's like, wow, if only I knew, I would have been like, Jennifer, pick that up for me.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah, let me know. I go to Target. I'm 3 times a week. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just go to say hi to my friends there. It's...
Right. Yeah. They know your name. Like, cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll let you know next time I go.
I'm looking forward to the point where maybe Janet might end up being you, but it's probably someone else, where it's like instead of a porcelain doll room, it's just a Grogu room where you just walk in. It's like 50 Grogus all staring at you, 2 of them haunted. I think that'll be great.
That's going to be me, the old lady with all the Grogus.
Grab a Jen. That's her and a Grogus. Be great.
Oh, my gosh. I knew someone. Can I just share that? I knew someone that this was way back in the 80s, and they had a, what was it? Was it Ziggy? Was it a Ziggy room or was it a Garfield room? It was one of those two.
Oh, wow.
And they had like pegs in this room. I walked in as a kid. My mind was blown, and they had all these figures, all unopened, and that was at the time where that was kind of relatively new to be that type of collector.
Yeah.
And it was like the dad, it was the dad's room, and the kid showed me, and the dad was like, "Don't touch anything." I can't remember if it was Ziggy or Garfield. It's kind of an important detail.
I really hope it was Ziggy because Garfield has continued to kind of have this long life, and I feel like Ziggy has faded from cultural relevance.
Probably none of our audience even knows who Ziggy is.
What's a Ziggy? Is that a Happy Days spinoff? God. What the hell is Ziggy?
That's amazing.
And not like that was, like, at least Garfield has some personality. You know, he doesn't like lasagna, or he likes lasagna. I can't remember. Yeah. Ziggy, what does Ziggy do? I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Charlie Brown-esque is my memory, but it could be totally, totally inaccurate. I had Ziggy pillow sheets, and I remember nothing about the actual character Ziggy.
Wow, that's
Why did we like Ziggy?
Wow. Ziggy bed sheets. That's special. That's special. Well, great stuff. Good night, everybody. We had a lot of fun talking about it. Joseph, where does Star Wars find you in life this week?
Yeah, Star Wars found me lots of places as always. I had a very full weekend, which was lovely. My wife, Sarah, is a dancer, and she's got a dance show coming up. So there was a preview for it this Friday in Pasadena. So I got to see my wife do some dancing, which was absolutely wonderful. We live within walking distance of the Pantages Theater, but we had never been there to see a show. We'd been there to vote, so we went to see Cats.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My wife loves the musical Cats, and I was just intrigued. That was great. So we had a very full weekend, but the place that Star Wars found me was great because it was kind of – I was busy doing non-Star Wars things, and Star Wars, like, literally found me, as it often does. Walked down to Grauman's to see the horror movie Halloween Ends, which is a very odd movie, but I enjoyed. It reminded me a lot of sometimes the discussion of the prequels of, like, not what people were expecting, but clearly exactly what the creators wanted to make. So I thought about Star Wars a little bit there. But then I, whenever I go to Grauman's, I stop at this bookstore on Hollywood Boulevard, Larry Edmonds. It's very old. A bookstore that sells really Hollywood books for the most part. You can find like art of books there, but also like lots of used books of old interviews and biographies. And they sell vintage posters, prints of vintage posters. It's just a great, if you love entertainment and art, it's a great store celebrating that. And I stopped in to buy a David Lynch book. And then someone said my name and I turned around and that was like, okay, I was in like Halloween David Lynch headspace. And it turned out to be a kind Force Center listener who just wanted to say hello and tell me that he very much agreed with our prequel thoughts in it and enjoyed them very much. So it was really, really nice because we're in like a totally different headspace, not like at a convention, at a place where I expect to engage in some prequel conversation. And it was a very kind, nice moment. So it was really nice to have Star Wars find me in the midst of my head being other places.
Love that.
That's great.
Love that. Yeah, it's always good. At a random 7-Eleven or Walmart checkout or something like that. That's great.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's I've really been thinking about that a lot, having been to that Lovecraft Film Festival last weekend. People, you know, they know me from doing a very specific character in a very specific set of films at that festival. And I think a lot of us are like, certainly the three of us who've done lots and lots of different things in our lives. So in public, when somebody says your name, you're like, is this for any of these five artistic things I've done? Am I being arrested? How does this person know me? Why is this person saying my name? It's always just like a really interesting moment. Is it somebody I just know in real life, you know? Yeah. So, and it's always really rewarding when it is a Force Center listener. Yeah. So huge thanks to that Force Center listener.
Love that. Yay. Love that. Yeah, I haven't experienced that in a bit here. I did comedy all weekend at La Jolla at the Comedy Store. And the amount of times people say, man, I really thought you were Tom Segura. It's just, I'm going to have to find a way to make money off that because it's happening more and more. I'm glad Star Wars found both of you. I will say this, I'm going to be honest. Star Wars did not find me this week. And I'm actually okay with that, which is not anything about Star Wars. It just was a different headspace. It was a different time. A lot of things going on. I traveled down to La Jolla with Mark Ellis and Jen Sturger to do some comedy down there. Five shows for the week. And it's not generally, La Jolla is not a nerdier crowd, so you can make a Star Wars reference, but it's really 50-50 on, or maybe 90-10 on if you'll get a reaction or not. And it's actually kind of fun to do that challenge. But other than that, man, you know, I watched Music Docs with Mark and stayed up late, slept in late, got some bad food around La Jolla, like great food, but bad for me. Around La Jolla, and that was it. And I think I need that refresh, just to not worry about blasters and pew-pew-pews and lightsabers and deep themes, all that stuff. I just Star Wars knows when to find you, and Star Wars knows when to say, "We'll be here. You come back to us when you're ready." And it feels good to be back.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave the light on for you.
So simple. And yeah, all three of us, you know, always, you know, we don't want to have our energy levels affect stuff. I want to address someone in the YouTube comment was like, hey, Ken seems rather tired lately. And I didn't take it bad, by the way. I think they thought I took it bad. I was just like, no, I want to confirm that you're not crazy. Especially last week, my voice was tired. Joseph's going through, you know, schedule, life, career, shooting things. Jen's doing crazy amounts of work, also raising children, a full-time job as well. And sometimes, yes, the energy level might drop. So I want to apologize if anyone felt I was falling asleep last week. It was exhausting. Not Star Wars. Life.
And you were up late last night, right? Getting home?
I got home at 1 a.m. and it was that balance of either I slept at the Airbnb and woke up at 5 to drive back from San Diego to L.A., which can be 2 hours or 5. And we're recording, so I was like, I'm just going to go home late. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to have a coffee in the car, but I'm going to be so tired when I get home, I'll fall asleep. I did not. So
oh, no.
I was jittery, shaken all night until here. So anyways, we'll use the force to power through here, Lotta.
Yeah, I totally understand. I was very excited for all the plans we had this weekend. But like when on Friday morning, I was just like, I want to sleep for 3 days. And like even when we're on our way to cats, I was like, I hope I can stay awake. And like it's literally dozens of cats jumping up and down, lights flashing.
Yes.
Yeah. Did they walk through the aisles of the audience, too?
They did not do that.
No, they didn't.
The Pantages is such a proscenium. You know, I don't know how they would do that. And I was in the balcony, so I guess if I was thinking about it, I would have been paranoid the entire time that a cat was going to come up behind me.
Exactly.
But it was a really good production. It was amazing.
That's great. And a great theater. Yeah, I've been there a few times now. But yeah, it reminds you of you're waiting for Palpatine to talk to Anakin in a box there somewhere. So it's a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good spot. All right, let's get into a little bit of Star Wars news. And, sometimes we always say, not a lot of news. And that's kind of true. We're in an Andor season, and big reveals and stuff are probably going to be a little bit later on. So you have to kind of dig for the news. But this is one that popped up, and I want to talk about it. And I know Joseph and Jennifer would agree with me on that. So it's our lead story today. I'm at best getting ready for a one-man show about his Jar Jar experiences. And you can go to our friends at Star Wars News Net to link to the story, or you can just follow Ahmed on Instagram, which is the source of this story, and always fun. And Ahmed Best, of course, the man behind the groundbreaking Jar Jar Binks character. Whether you love the character or not, growing up, you have to understand, not just admit, understand. Jar Jar broke a lot of ground with technological advancements in CGI characters. And of course, Ahmed's experiences with Jar Jar have been well documented by other people. And he posted on Instagram a photo of a script title page. I think it was an untitled one man show to reveal that he's finally ready to put his one man show into the world. Here's the post. He says, "And we're back. It's been 3 years since I wrote this. I was ready to put it on stage and then the world shut down. But often the work tells you when it's ready. And this started yelling at me. Honestly, this is the scariest thing I've ever done. I'm very nervous about putting this out there, and that's exactly why I have to do it." Yeah, Best had previously planned on putting this out there, and I think, Joseph, you might know more. Weren't there rumors that Frank Oz was involved as a director or some capacity at some point?
Do you remember? I mean, I think I've heard rumblings from various people. I think Ahmed Best has posted about this a little bit. There might have been like a little bit of a Twitter conversation about this. That's my recollection that no one should take as fact. Those are my foggy recollections.
Same. Foggy, busy weekend recollections here.
But it sounds like you have similar foggy recollections, Jennifer.
Yes. I actually think, and maybe I asked my foggy recollection. We were talking about this like 3.5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. I just remember being in Ken's studio and talking about this. Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of like back then it was just like maybe an idea where he was kind of throwing it out there on Twitter. Like, I have this thing I want to do. I might do it. I have stories I want to share. Mm-hmm. And now here we are.
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. Faint memories of an old apartment studio. Yes. Not a studio apartment, an apartment studio talking about this. But regardless of any of our foggy memories, we have got this story now. Obviously nothing official, no announcements of where it is. He just is going to do it. And I really love what he's being honest about here. He's very nervous, as any artist would be, but especially with Ahmed Best and his journey with his character. So, Joseph, we'll start with you here. What do you think about this? What do we hope it accomplishes? And what do we want to learn in 2023 and beyond from Ahmed Best about Jar Jar?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many layers to this, and I will admit, selfishly, I hope that he does put the show up. I think I hope he puts it up on a local stage in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There are lots of, you know, theater is kind of a different beast in Los Angeles for lots of reasons because it's so commingled with the rest of the entertainment industry. But there is an active, thriving theater community in Los Angeles and lots of interesting places where he could put it up. So I hope he puts it up. I hope he workshops it. I hope then it launches from a small local stage, intimate stage production and goes however big Ahmed Best wants it to, right? If he films it and releases it as just that intimate show, if he turns it into a longer run, if he tours it throughout the country, if he turns it into a book, however he wants to share the story, because I think whatever he puts up, if he puts up a one night only show, you know, that has any opening to the public, there are going to be clickbait links to it, right?
Yeah.
So I hope that he gets to achieve what I perceive he wants to from his social media post, which is to share his narrative from his perspective. So that's kind of my hope to imagine how it might emerge into our actual physical world. And then to your question about what you want to learn, I think there is some behind the scenes things that he has alluded to in the past. Some things that we know from other people's perspectives or documentaries, but I would love to hear his journey in creating Jar Jar, how he feels about the technical achievement that led to so much more motion capture and CGI characters. I'm definitely curious in his insights on what Jar Jar's role might have been if there hadn't been the backlash, because he's sort of discussed that a little bit before, but it'd be great to hear big picture. And then final thing, like that's all the kind of almost like Star Wars nerdery of like, it'd be great to hear from the man himself about that Jar Jar journey. But I think this story that's really important is the story of empathy and compassion, right?
Yeah.
More than anything, really hearing Ahmed Best's human story. We all know it is, of course, just fine to see a character and not like it, right? Mm-hmm. There's no problem with anybody who watches The Phantom Menace right now and says, Jar Jar Binks as a character is not for me. We know that in 99, it went so far beyond that into this level of just, you know, fury and cruelty that splashed out to the performer. And I think having the performer himself tell that story might really help to kind of drive the irony home that Jar Jar Binks is a character that reminds us that everyone has perspective, everyone has value, everyone has humanity. And the irony that the character with that perspective was met with such a lack of sensitivity and compassion. That is, to me, that is the human story I'm really interested in.
Yeah, absolutely with you on that. There's so much to go into that, and even up top when I say, hey, no matter what you think about the character, I even, you know, now in 2022, I kind of hate having to say that, but it's just a big reality around the character that I think it's important to hear that from Ahmed, you know, going through that the day to day. We've gotten some reveals, we've gotten some interviews. Still always want to point people to his interviews on YouTube with our friend Jamie Stangroom. Just wonderful stuff, including him reading the Chuck Wendig aftermath interlude in Jar Jar's voice, which is one of my favorite pieces of Jar Jar media, both the interlude and him reading that. But yeah, Jen, get in here as well. Yeah, hopefully we can all see this locally. We'll make it a Four Center night out or something like that. What do you think about all this, Jen?
You know, it's interesting because until you guys started talking about that's kind of the benefit of doing a one-man show. It's obviously very cathartic for him. He is a great performer, and I think he would really do well doing a one-man show in a live theater. And also, it would bring fans together, which is special and really what Star Wars is about, is connecting with other fans. And so that could be kind of cool too. It could bring a healing for us all. Because the truth is that I know a lot of us, myself included, I did not care for the character when it first came out, because I took myself very seriously as a Star Wars fan, and this did not represent, you know, what I thought Star Wars should be. Teenage person. I'm so serious. I'm 17. But now, and through time, through obviously, you know, my kids being obsessed with Jar Jar. They laughing hysterically at everything. And as I'm watching it, I'm getting the physical comedy aspect of it. I always like Buster Keaton, like that style of humor, which I love. Mm-hmm. And you really start. And then if you watch the behind the scenes documentary, you hear them talking about the character and him, Ahmed Best, kind of tinkering around with his physicality. Mm-hmm. You just see how much thought and care went into this. And I understand it. I get it now. I love Jar Jar. Not ironically, I truly love him. Yeah. I love what he represents. It's just fun silliness that I love about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because initially I had hoped that he would produce a documentary. I always love documentaries, but the reality is I'm sure it would be practically impossible to get clearance on the Star Wars clips, especially depending on what he's going to say. The next thing would be maybe a biography, like, you know, him talking about it in book form. But he really is such a great performer. Why not see it on stage? And like Joseph said, he could tour it across the country. It could even go to off-Broadway Broadway. You never know, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just think whatever he wants to do with it, we are here to support him, whatever he wants to achieve.
Yeah, as a Star Wars community. Joseph, yeah, sorry, you have a thought there? Sorry.
No, I was just agreeing. Go for it.
I think I've, over the years, have become fiercely protective of Jar Jar and fiercely protective of Ahmed, a man I've never met, you know? I think his honesty and just seeing it. And, I was, 23 or whatever I was when Phantom Menace came out, and I certainly had some thoughts and all those kind of things. But I'm glad I never tipped over into what ended up happening towards Ahmed and Jake Lloyd and a lot of folks and a lot of performers over the years. We've seen this. But Ahmed being one of the first on a large scale, career waylaid and delayed, and hey, look, you can, I think in the end he's emerged even stronger, I hope. But all that to say, the documentary idea is something I've just been wanting for a long time, because I think there's so much to cover in terms of the technological side and creating the character and getting the insights and hearing Ahmed's takes on choices that they made for the character, good, bad, and otherwise, to hear it from him. But because it's a one-man show type of atmosphere in theater and the real intimate nature of that, I think you're right, Joseph, to have it hit on the actual experiences. And if you're seeing it and it's up front in person and you're not on your couch in your sweatpants eating dinner, he's there. And any pain he's going through, it'll be on stage. Any joy he's expressing, it will be there. And I think that's what makes this right now a very special choice to do it as a one-man show. I hope it's local. I'll travel to Broadway or off-Broadway to see him at Best do this.
Yeah. And who knows what the show will be? And I want to speculate responsibly about, Ahmed Best's own one-person show.
Yeah.
But I just think there's always such a power in when someone else just tells you their narrative and you're stripped away of everything else but the perspective of one person, it's so much easier to feel things from that person's perspective, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very curious if he lets us in to the perspective of, like, I was in Stomp, which is no small achievement. Mm-mm. That's how I got spotted for this, right?
Seriously.
I was already this accomplished, amazing performer, and then the greatest dream comes true. Not only asked to be in Star Wars, but to work closely with George Lucas to develop something that's never been done, to help him push the envelope, and then to be met with just such a wall of negativity, to be met with the actual dark side.
Yeah.
I hope that, even if, like I said, even if to this day people are like, this Jar Jar joke doesn't work for me. I get what the character means, but maybe not for me, whatever. If people can kind of put that into perspective.
Yeah.
In the difference between an opinion about a character versus the way it was expressed and what it did to real humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, and we here at Force Center, I think over the years, have not shied away from any Jar Jar talk or any Jar Jar celebration or discussion. I think the Clone Wars report has been some of my favorite discussions about and around Jar Jar, and not just simply reevaluating it as a fan, but just seeing what is there for you. And it's part of this conversation I want to have with both of you, too. In this time, 2022, as we race towards 2023, I love these temperature checks of looking at things in our discussions that we may have had before here. Where, what do we feel now? Jar Jar Binks' legacy in Star Wars as of right now, Jen. Any thoughts on that, especially as a parent to kids that have reacted to this character, perhaps as intended?
Yeah, I mean, kids love Jar Jar, and kids who grew up with Jar Jar love him. There's a whole generation of fans that just that the prequels are their Star Wars. And I think that that's fantastic. And it's amazing how my then 2-year-old, maybe she was two, maybe she was younger when I started sharing Star Wars books with her and whatever media. And she just gravitated towards Jar Jar. His look, his like kind of floppy, you know, sensibility in his ears and whatever, and his face, like she just gravitated towards that. Like it was just friendly, kid friendly. And then when she got to see him in action, it was like, wow, their little minds were blown, right? And you know, it just makes me go back to that, like the intimacy of the theater experience and how it's really, it would allow him to control the narrative, because I can just imagine blogs and YouTubers who might take, if he did a documentary, right? They could twist it. And they could, you know, use clips, and I could just see it being used for that. But there's something about when you're sharing your experience in person, in an intimate setting like that, somebody pouring their heart out, like you connect on it on a human level, and you're less likely to want to exploit that. I would hope, right? Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Jar Jar is fantastic. We love Jar Jar in our house, and I'm so happy to see that so many fans are now rallying around him.
Yeah.
The character and the actor.
Absolutely. As the generations move forward and you know, I said the character is intended. It's definitely intended for the younger crowd, Joseph, but as we've discussed here, and you mentioned even earlier, Jar Jar definitely represents some important things in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, hugely important. And I think, you know, for me, owning my perspective, you know, rewatch the original trilogy again and again, and some of the parts of Star Wars that landed for me were the darker, the deeper. Anytime that I was in pain for any reason, watching Luke go through pain in Empire Strikes Back, it's like, it's real, I'm not alone, right? I wanted the heavier, the more serious, you know, and Jar Jar brought back all of this energy of youth and fun and empathy and kindness and silliness and all these things that I wasn't there for. And that was, I think, a lot of my backlash. And when I watch Phantom Menace now, it's like, yeah, some of these jokes are a little bit geared toward younger audience. This is, hey, have you never seen some of the absolute basics of comedy? Have you never seen anybody step in poo-poo?
Yeah.
Have you never seen a bunch of slapstick? And this is kind of your introduction to that world of comedy. Like, yeah, some of those jokes aren't for me, but some of Ahmed Best's delivery has a ton more like comedic nuance than I allowed myself to appreciate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of beats in Phantom Menace I have come to like really, really legitimately enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then the way the character, to your question about the legacy of Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars, he is kind of this classic clown in the silent film mode. This person who seems like almost magically bumbling. Like, I love the comedy of Laurel and Hardy, because like sometimes their shorts are just, can they get out of bed today? And the answer is no. Everything falls apart because they are lovable fools. The world is against them. And Jar Jar represents all of these ideas, these classic ideas of the clown, from the sort of the foolish, the person who appears to be foolish, but is actually quite correct and noble, and nobody is listening to them because they appear foolish on the surface, to the sort of the tragic clown, someone who clearly has such deep love in their heart, but people react to them with such negativity, which is the great, you know, aftermath story of the tragic clown, Jar Jar. So I think his legacy in Star Wars is that the character is much deeper than a steppin' in poo-poo joke, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if anybody wants to give Jar Jar a different chance, a different perspective, I strongly recommend the Clone Wars episodes, the season 3 Supply Lines, and season 6, the two-parter, The Disappeared with Mace Windu. A couple other great ones as well. But I think what those episodes drive home is that great Jar Jar theme of everyone matters, everyone has perspective, you need to calm down, and especially if you're a person in power, listen to those around you. But also that Jar Jar is just bravery, a huge part of Star Wars is bravery, right? Of are you willing to do what you need to do, even if it's scary? And Jar Jar is, that's to me his greatest comedy, was like, this bumbling fool should not be anywhere near actual violence or danger, right? Mm-hmm. And some really funny moments where he has to confront, like, yeah, you're not equipped to be here, but he does it anyway because he's being brave.
Yeah. Fate has placed him there. Destiny's placed him there, and he makes the right choice to go forward. Now, I love what you said there. I love, Jennifer, your experiences and what you shared there. Yeah, and it's part of it as it continues to grow. And after Chicago 2019, where I think Ahmed was welcomed back a little bit more by the younger generations and hopefully the older generations, his involvement with the Star Wars, the game show we all loved, which wouldn't mind seeing that again. But I don't know. Kelleran Beck, though, I think is a character I'd love to see pop up elsewhere, too. But, yeah, the Jar Jar legacy, you talked about it so well, Joseph, about what he represents, but everyone matters. And we, you know, I think all three of us, we really love the moments with Padme. I mean, the two of them, him saying this truth about these this brave culture, the Gungans, and he knows that they and the Naboo don't get along. She knows that, and they both overlook that, and it's one of the most important moments in the franchise, and it's small, and it's sweet, and it was mocked. You said people gonna die, was mocked. And I think that's become one of my favorite moments in Star Wars for what it represents for them. And also, I think Jar Jar himself, part of this legacy, is a bit of a challenge. And it's a good challenge to sit down, have certain kinds of fans or certain age groups of fans look at Jar Jar as they sit down and watch it. And can you allow the next generation to come in? Can you give up your wants and desires to let someone else be moved by something that maybe you don't understand or maybe isn't directly for you? I think Jar Jar does represent that. And Ahmed embodied that. And, I mean, almost paid the dearest price for it, which is just horrible and tragic. But he's emerged. Ahmed has emerged. Jar Jar has emerged. And I think in 2022, I'm looking forward to those two beings colliding again on stage to share a new story. It's going to be fun. Hopefully, you know, we'll see if it goes. And Ahmed, I have my suitcase, will travel to wherever you perform it. There you go. Any final thoughts there on Jar Jar and Ahmed and the one-man show? We hope it's going to happen soon.
No, I'm just stopping myself from listening more Clone Wars episodes where I enjoy Jar Jar.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And Jen, I do recall at one point you shared a video of, it was one of your daughters doing the Jar Jar walk, right? I remember that.
Yes, it was my eldest daughter, Lucia. Yeah, yeah. She was really studying it. She was just so fascinated by the character. Yeah. And I think part of it's because the kids can also see themselves in that character being, the character's so innocent, you know, and really wants to be helpful, but sometimes just can't. They stick their face in the wrong place.
Yes, this is true. So, he is. Yeah. Look, Jar Jar's very innocent, except for when he was hanging out with Queen Julia. That's part of the fun of that episode, too. Jar Jar experiences life, all degrees of it. All right. We are looking forward to that. We, of course, keep you updated if this one-man show moves forward and where we could see it and all those kind of things. Maybe it will be a four-center field trip. We'll find out. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. There is some more news discussed about the High Republic. But before we do that, we have a four-center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
I don't think I even really need to say it. I think loyal listeners can say it along with us.
Yes.
Padawan by Kirsten White. It's a new Obi-Wan adventure, I say, making fun of myself because we've been calling it new for over a month. It's not new anymore. We just still intend to read it, so we are continuing to suggest it to you as an audiobook.
Yeah, it's this is the week I think I start. I think I have a little downtime between travel gigs. I think this is the week. But if you don't want to read it, you want to listen to it, this is what we're doing here. We're recommending you try it out and download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center. Say with me, kids, for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. The other side, more news here on 4center.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat,
all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're looking at Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. And we got a little bit more High Republic stories and information coming our way. High Republic art reveals and what we've all wanted, more Yaddle, which will kind of be the focus of this news story here. Kristen Baver guest hosted the High Republic show and revealed some new art for characters in the upcoming second phase of the High Republic, which is here. The books and the comics are starting to come on out. There is a younger version of the character, Sav Maligan, a character we met in Phase 1. Remember, again, Phase 2 is about 150 years before the events of Phase 1. There is a 15-year-old tech genius named Sky Graff, part of the Graff Prospecting Dynasty, featured prominently in Phase 1. There is a honorable Jedi named Barash Sylvan, who will be featured in the upcoming Portal Engel comic series. And that name, Barash, ooh, that's familiar to the people who might know the Barash vow. Don't know what we're going to get from there. But feel free, Joseph and Jennifer, to talk about any name I just mentioned. But there is some art of Yaddle. We want to talk about Yaddle and how this one-off character from The Phantom Menace has quite the cult following. There is always Yaddle joy whenever Yaddle shows up. I'm fascinated with that. Jennifer, anything jump out to you here? And I'm going to need your Yaddle thoughts.
Oh, my gosh. So, first of all, the Barash, the artwork for Barash, very anime, I would say. I'm not an anime scholar or anything, but that just kind of took me back. Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. I have no idea who the other characters are. This is one area where I really need to work on my Star Wars knowledge. I don't know anything about the High Republic. I've heard wonderful things, but that Yaddle concept art, there is something about Yaddle because I love her.
Yes.
I've loved her since I first saw her wrinkly face in The Phantom Menace. I don't know why I love her so much, but this artwork in particular, it gives her a very sophisticated look. Her expression is very kind and warm, which is kind of different than how she looks in the prequels. She's a lot older. Age does that to you. And one detail that I think is funny is that her feet, because now I'm into Grogu feet, right? I'm into the Yoda species feet. Her feet have these long nails, which makes her look kind of elegant. I like the choice. Whoever did this concept art, fantastic. And it also made me realize I really want her to make an appearance somewhere. Can we? Like anywhere? Yeah. Ahsoka, Mandalorian? Like she's still alive, correct? In the comics, no, right?
I think her fate had been made clear in Legends, and it has been up for grab in canon. She is appearing in the very soon to be released this week Tales of the Jedi animated show.
Yeah, that's right.
So there is a possibility that we will learn more later, actually next week, October 26th. It is possible that we will know more about Yaddle's fate very soon. Possible. Not confirmed at all.
Yeah.
People want more of her. That's all I'm going to say.
But they really do. They really do. And Joseph, again, feel free. We're going to talk. I love to talk about Barash. But yeah, the Yaddle love is very strong. Even people inside Lucasfilm. Matt Martin is one of them in the story group who's just unabashedly a Yaddle stan. And I love it. I just love the energy of it.
Yeah, ride or die Yaddle for sure. Yeah, let's lead with Yaddle and come back for Barash because I am fascinated by that. I mean, I think I should just talk from my own perspective because I think maybe, you know, people love Yaddle for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
But for me, she's in this collection of the Phantom Menace of things that when it first came out that people either didn't like or poked fun at, but then become actually intrigued by as the years go on. Jar Jar himself is, right, somebody, a character we just talked about, how much the character, the idea and the meaning of the characters there in Phantom Menace, but then becomes so much more fleshed out. But like Jarl Poof on the Jedi Council was like one of the go-to jokes among myself in my Star Wars friends, because it's just that weird long bobbin head. I remember I think the week Phantom Menace came out, my improv group did a show and somebody started a Star Wars scene and my friend just jumped to the back of the stage, sat down, stuck his arm up and like made his hand a head and it drifted a little bit. And like the whole audience was like, it's that guy. Like,
oh my gosh.
They recognized sort of like the joke of Jarl Poof, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So from my perspective, Yaddle started out as a joke, right? Kind of funny because for a couple reasons, that the main photo of her, the main shot of her in the Phantom Menace, right? Jennifer, I think you're being generous that she's older. She looks like she is has overindulged in something. She looks like she has had to be undercover on the death sticks, right? She's got those weird, dangling, weak little chicken legs.
Yeah.
Her mouth is hanging open like she is just barely aware. She's like, is there the Chosen One was here? What? You know? She looks weird. And then I want to be very delicate about the way I say this because I don't want to support it, but it's a truth of what I grew up around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that phenomenon growing up with a lot of pop culture things that you'd be introduced to the male version.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then you'd get a lady version of the
with
thing, right? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just
Ms.
be like,
Pac-Man.
Yeah, Miss Pac-Man, Smurfette, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about like, well, I shouldn't say what it was about. What it felt like to me is, look, we're being inclusive. There's one lady, and it's basically the man, but now she's got hair.
Right. Yeah.
And Yaddle, from that perspective, which I do not endorse, but I grew up with, really slotted into that. It's Yoda, but with lady hair, right? Which made the character comic in a certain way. And then also kind of had that, there was so much in The Phantom Menace that had an air of Lucas wanting to give us more information and a lot of us going, we don't want that. Two more information about the Force, all that kind of stuff. And I think Yaddle was one of those like, ooh, we like not knowing Yoda, anything about Yoda's species, right? So is Yaddle opening the door to that? And then she disappears so mysteriously in Attack of the Clones, you know?
Right.
Yes.
And I think for me, there's this whole arc of these characters that, from my perspective in 99, were silly or weird, And then it's the great tip of the iceberg storytelling of Star Wars, but they intrigue you, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you're done laughing, you're like, but what's the deal, really?
Right.
But seriously, I want to know who the character truly is, what motivates them, what is her relationship with Yoda, how is her perspective different? Like, I become actually, truly, deeply interested. Yeah. So for me, Yaddle is one of those characters that has this specific charm of, my entry point was kind of laughing at it, but now I'm sincerely invested.
Yes, like me with the Spice Girls, again, like I always say. Joseph, that's a big-time Force Center well said, because you're touching on exactly the feeling for perhaps us in our generation. Certainly not everyone to speak in generally, but your experience, I think, is lines up with mine of, first of all, yeah, Jen, you say the Ms. Pac-Man reference and everything. That just kind of was the feel. And George going, hey, here's more. And you go, well, what? And it wasn't like Yaddle just slipped in the background and I didn't see her. Like, it was front and center. And it was like, whoa, a Lady Yoda, right? Like, and again, I'm with you on not endorsing that take on it, but that was the feel, especially 99. And I was always, I've been fascinated by the Yaddle love now. Clearly, it's why I want to talk about it, because of those humble beginnings. But it's the power of Star Wars to stick around. It's the power of Star Wars to let other generations come in and take hold of something and make it their own and have a different relationship with it. And Yaddle's part of that, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, to Jen's description and your follow-up, Joseph, I mean, she looked like a villain in Dark Crystal to me. Like, it was...
Exactly. Exactly.
Like she's going to pull her eyeball out or something like it. It scare me as a kid. Yeah, so it was different. And then, yeah, then she disappears, which was all, you know, it was noticed. Like, it was a little bit of like, oh, we didn't get more of Yaddle. And also say this, funny, Yaddle was one of those names that I felt early on, even though, you know, I was, the hubbub around Phantom Menace, I still took time to learn that name, right?
And you had to.
You had to. And I still bragged about knowing that name to my friends. So my relationship started to change over the years. So from those humble beginnings, I can't wait for more Yaddle content. I can't wait. I think people have definitely been waiting for it. And it's part of this thing. Is it to a level of, say, the Tuskens? I don't know yet. But this taking things from Star Wars past, including things that at times might have been, we might say, problematic now, but maybe of their era then, or of tropes that might push towards... being you know, problematic themselves, just being able to recontextualize things is part of what I love about Star Wars right now. They do it with the Tuskens. Even off-world Jawas is part of that too, or lawn gear on their roof there. But for Yaddle to now just go from, you all thought I was Lady Yoda, but I'm Yaddle, and I'm here, and here's my story, and High Republic is this place to do it. I'm fascinated by this. I can't wait. I can't believe 1999 Ken would be, what are you talking about? You want to hear more Yaddle stories? And I do. I can't wait for more Yaddle.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. And I think there is we've been talking about, I think, our perspective from our generation, and I'm always happy to hear other people's perspectives. But I think there's a general thing across generations in Star Wars now where there's a little bit of almost the, like, the obscurity challenge of, like, hey, Star Wars, give us the smallest screen time, the weirdest design, and we will still be intrigued. Like, we can take it. Like, yes, we do want a 5-issue Clawed arc, comic book arc. You know, like, I think there is that investment in, there's nobody too weird, nobody too obscure that we don't want to see. Like, what's the actual truth? What's the depth of that character who appears for a split second?
Yeah, and especially back in 2014, 2015, everyone, including, I think, myself, Joseph, maybe even you, Jennifer, you would make a joke of, oh, we're doing standalone movies now. Is that we're going to have a Gonk Droid movie? And it's like, at the end of the day, Gonky shows up, and you're like, yeah, I could take 5 episodes of Gonky. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is Star Wars. We do this. You can make fun of it, but we invest in these characters, and it's fun. I want more of that extra in Andor that's like the mouse rat species that hops around. Like, give me more of that.
It's about commitment, right? Yeah. We want to see these characters in their full form. And I think maybe they purposely chose Yaddle to be kind of dazed and confused in hopes that she wouldn't steal the scene.
Yeah.
Because maybe in my mind, she would have stolen that scene. I would have been like, who's that? What's going on with her character? If she had been alert Yeah. And alive. I was going to try and take a screen grab. And unfortunately, like every still that they have is just her looking like, dare I say, Viserys from House of the Dragon. And just so, yeah, it's unfortunate. But I'm glad that we're now getting younger, vibrant Yaddle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just like we're getting Yoda out there doing stuff as well. No, I love it. I hear what you're saying there. On she was memorable. She stole the scene. She did steal the scene. That was right. The thing. That was the thing. So many conversations around that 99 Yaddle. Before I can't remember. Justin, do you remember when they released the name?
I don't remember when I first knew the name Yaddle. I feel like I've always known it. I feel like I walked out of the screening of Phantom Menace, but I can't remember. I was on Star Wars. No, I wasn't on StarWars.com. I was on StarWars.com like every day leading up to Attack the Clones. But maybe it was in a Star Wars Insider magazine. Maybe it was on a trading card. Maybe it was on the back of an action figure. I can't remember when I first learned a Yaddle, but I remember that it only added to my sort of my joy in going, this is bonkers, and her name is Yaddle, and she sounds like, you know, some combination of yodel and laddle. I had a friend at the time who was like, laddle's the funniest word there is in the English language. Laddle. Like, Yaddle's a close second now.
Yaddle's close. Yeah, which is why we still want a Grogu to be Yozu or something like that. Just made sense. Made sense. Also, I love you sounded like Luke, like in Leia, like somehow I've always known. Just always knew her name was Yaddle. Well, that's only part of the story here. We do want to talk a little bit. And yeah, Jen, I know you are not alone. A lot of people there, you know, still trying to catch up with High Republic or feeling overwhelmed. But some of the characters might not mean anything to you yet, but they will. But Joseph, we do want to discuss these characters, but particularly this character of Jedi Knight Barash Sylvain. I love me some Porter Engel, but I'm really intrigued by this honorable Jedi fighting alongside or traveling the galaxy with Porter. Your thoughts on Barash and what that might mean as we know the Barash vow was out there already.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really intrigued by it. Both the design. Yeah, I love what Jennifer's saying about kind of anime. Like she also just looks very sort of Nordic Valkyrie. She's just kind of a great image to bring into it, a really intriguing image. And yeah, the Barash vow I think is a fascinating thing got introduced into canon, the vow that a Jedi takes to, if they feel like they have made a mistake, to just step away from absolutely everything, because that's so that was such a fascinating thing to learn, that was sort of a known and organized part of the Jedi journey, of sometimes people felt the need to do that because it so matches what perhaps what was going on with Obi-Wan. Not really. We know now, but certainly there's some similarity to what Luke does in Last Jedi. But to have somebody named Barash and wonder, is that going to be connected, is really, really fascinating. And I also seen these designs that she's got some sort of a mechno arm, which is really, really intriguing because of all of the history of the way that's used in Star Wars. Porter Engel is a character who is implied. Used violence when necessary and became famous for it, but now wrestles with it. And that's interesting to see a Jedi traveling with him. Is this also a scar from being very aggressive?
Yeah. Well said indeed. And yeah, this connection, and talk about tip of the iceberg or things like that. Like that Barash vow when it shows up, which is in the Vader series, that Jedi, gosh, I forget his name, Jedi Master Feeler or something like that, where Vader gets his lightsaber from in the comic series back in 2015, 2016 range.
Yeah, I struggle to remember his name. Infil Sika, something like that.
Yeah. You're closer than I was there for sure. and without a doubt, I think that was Charles Soule, right? So he's in the High Republic. But that was all the rage, man, right? That was, you talk about theories and predictions and irresponsible speculation. That Barash vow showed up and it was like, oh, that's the answer to Luke. That's why he's on the island. Yay. And which is, by the way, not a crazy leap to make, especially then when we thought maybe more clues were there for just plot details. So to come back now, I was just making the notes for this news, and I was out, traveling. I was in La Jolla, and so I was just kind of focused, still maybe recovering from a little late night Eagles documentary and White Claw drinking, you know? And I just kind of wrote the name down, emailed it off to you both, and then was like, wait a minute, that's the Brash. Oh, my God. So I'm ready, intrigued, and hope we get eventually an answer or a direct connection. It'd be fun all these years later to talk about, again, tip of the iceberg to get some more to that now there. So, Jen, I know a little bit out there, but now you might be really intrigued with phase two.
I've committed myself to reading at night now just to kind of calm myself, you know, get away from technology, not fall asleep on the couch while watching something, right? So it's on my nightstand. I'm doing it. I'm motivated. You guys have gotten me excited about this because I have a long way to go to catch up to this point. So
yeah, there is a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jedi Master Kirik Infla is the one we learned about the Brash Vow and the person who Vader took their Kyber for his blade.
A good little part of that run there. Getting more on like the Graf family, the Santecas. That's one of the things, little small things I've loved about the High Republic. Just these dynasties and families and companies and legacies that kind of roll on out. That is kind of fun as well. So Skygraf's interesting and a great design too as well for as we jump even farther back in the Star Wars timeline.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sev Mulligane is a Kyozu, like Embo in Constable Zuvio. So I love to see that culture being developed as well.
All right. Well, that is the look of it. We got Graf, we got Santecas. I am gathering my breath and energy to get ready to dive into phase two. Can't wait. I'll finish Padawan, then start High Republic phase two. We know a lot of you are excited out there as well. All right, we're almost done today, but before we get on out of here, we are going to take a look at this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past, and a special one and a bittersweet one this week as well. On October 21st, 1956, Carrie Frances Fisher was born to Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher just down the road from where I live now in beautiful Burbank, California, St. Joe's Hospital. Being born into Hollywood royalty made Carrie the perfect fit for the iconic senator turned rebel Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan, a role that she, of course, made very much her own. The world lost Carrie in December 2016. Hard to believe it is already that long ago. But what are some of the lessons we all took and continue to take from the life and times of Carrie Fisher and everyone's favorite Princess Joseph?
Yeah, that's such a big question. I try to contain myself a bit. I think, you know, there's so many legacies because there's her role as Leia, right? There's what Lucas wrote and then what Carrie Fisher just breathed so much of life into and so much of, I think, of her own perspective and her own sense of humor, in her own sense of strength, right? But, you know, I think building off of that, all of the storytelling we've had with Leia, with, you know, little Leia and Obi-Wan Kenobi, with all of the great stories in books and comics, to me, the inspiration, what I take from the character of Leia is strength, perseverance, admitting exactly how bad things are, but still not losing hope, which is so important. Of like, she is never been a Pollyanna. She's been, it's real bad. It's exactly this bad, but we cannot give up. And her journey to be somebody who is a leader who has to be there for others, who plans and organizes, but then also learns that she needs to let her feelings in. And Leia's great power of being intuitive as well as a great organized leader. Those are some of the things to me that are inspiring about Leia. Carrie Fisher, there's so much to be said. So I'm just really going to focus on the way that Carrie Fisher used comedy in the way that she talked about her own life and about her own journeys. If anybody hasn't watched it or hasn't watched it in a little while, there's like that 6-minute clip from 2015 of her interview on Good Morning America, where she brings Gary the dog and she says,
I love that. Yes.
Multiple deeply meaningful, you know, just keen observations, but also just sort of like pops a pin in the sort of the hot air of these are interviews to promote a movie. This is what we say. This is how we say it. And she's just like, no, I'm going to bring all of my humanity in this, into this, all of my humanity and charm. And I'm going to make this real instead of this very fabricated thing. And there's so much to me about her comedy from her novels and her films to her, you know, one woman show, to her books, to just casual interviews, where she uses comedy in what is to me the highest form, that it is to commiserate that life can be difficult, that life can be absurd. It is to take something that can be hard and turn it into joy through laughter, and give yourself some more control over it because you are laughing at it. It's the alchemy of comedy to take something that's hard for all of us and even briefly make it beautiful and cathartic. It's the highest reason to do comedy, in my opinion. And to me, she's just such a shining example of how that feels when comedy is just relief.
Yeah.
That's what Carrie Fisher's comedy is to me.
Yeah, well said there. I think of Harrison Ford in Empire of Dreams. She got a lot of gall. A lot of things. Yeah, yeah. These are big questions here, and it changes over time as well. As you look back and things in your life change. The addition of little Leia to the story, about the character, learning about her origins as well as a character that cares about others and empathy, the carrying that torch, that flame for hope. That's all stuff that will be with all of us there. And yeah, I just reiterating about the purpose of comedy, film comedy, just this weekend with a friend who was going through some stuff. I didn't quote exactly, but I mentioned, I was like, you know, it's like Carrie Fisher always joke. You either laugh or you're going to cry. Right. It's like, and the power of that and owning it and just even who Carrie was, especially in the later years, where she too, you know, we've been talking about Ahmed up top, but like she too went through that, you know, different degree and different thing, but you know, where she aged, her body changed, everything, and she went through this horrible, you know, often, let's be honest, sexist scrutiny of who she was, and she wasn't still Bikini Leia again, and all those things, to go through that and emerges the Carrie that we all got to know in the last 15 years or so, where she'd show up in interviews and documentaries and just own who she was, own the mistakes, own the changes, enjoyed what she could, struggled and was honest with it. And that really, at the end of the day, is what I really take from her, Carrie Fisher, more than anything, of just like on your worst day, that's still you, and you got to own it. You got to move forward. You got to work on it. You got to joke about it. You got to laugh about it. And that is truly inspirational. And we've all seen that, you know, up front and close with Star Wars fans, connecting to Carrie in that way. Always powerful there. So Jen, take us home on Life and Times of Carrie Fisher.
Oh my gosh. I just, you know, really from the 80s on, when you would see her in interviews, whether it was with Charlie Rose or some sort of late night talk show, the thing that made her really one of a kind that you don't even see nowadays is she was who she was off screen and on in these interviews. Like she just embraced her eccentricities and just like her quirkiness, her things that make her real and human that we can all relate to. And, you know, she was a champion, as we all know, for mental health and really trying to destigmatize it. And it's so incredibly important. And whenever I think of Carrie Fisher, I think of that Bright Lights documentary and seeing her home, just like how quirky and just eclectic it was, and how you would hear stories about her sprinkling glitter on people. I want to be somebody like that. That is just, they are who they are, and they're in all of our weirdness, and just, you know, not changing. And that is so refreshing, and it's so Carrie, and it's why you never knew what you were going to get when you would see her in an interview, which is like, yes, there's something that's enjoyable to watch, because I wouldn't do that. I'd be too scared. You know, I want people to like me. She's like, no, either you like me or you don't. It's all right. I'm just going to be me. And that's really something that I truly admire. And her daughter, Billie Lourd, who, you know, talks about her grief around losing her mom and her grandma.
Yeah.
But she also celebrates her mom's life. And I just, I love that. And I think that in fact, at Star Wars Celebration this year, she went around giving people packets of glitter. Just like, you know, she just said that she didn't want to sprinkle it on people because she didn't know if they would be wanting glitter on them. But she gave it as an homage to her mom. I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Billy Lord at 2017 Orlando coming out there to address the crowd, speak to the crowd. Still a powerful moment.
Yeah.
All of it bittersweet, of course, but a powerful moment nonetheless. Well said, Jen. Really appreciate that. Yeah. I just heard a story this weekend. Two friends, one of them, our pal Mike Black, who's appeared on Four Center before, and will again, and another comic I know, Steve Simone, Mark Ellis, was telling me a story that they saw Carrie Fisher at like 7-Eleven at 1 a.m, and she got out of the car and saw them and knew they knew. And she didn't run from it. She didn't hide. She didn't necessarily talk to them, but they both were like, it was, she knew what that moment meant for us. In the most scary way at 1 a.m, and she didn't run from it. So the stories remain. The stories remain. Carrie Fisher, born on this day this week, October 21st, 1956. The world absolutely misses our princess there. We are done today. That's a look at Star Wars news, the yaddle of it all. More news next week. Of course, Andor review next episode coming up. We got Q's and A's. We got a lot of full slate of Force Center content this week. Thank you all for listening today. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Our Instagram page is out there as well. Our YouTube page. We got a live Q&A coming up soon. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Always excited to have new patrons join. Get into our Discord and talk Star Wars every day with ForceCenter friends. You can find me at Catnapsock or go to my website, catnapsock.com. I'll be in Seattle on October 28th. Oh, man, I don't know the days and times anymore. But it'll be up there doing comedy with Mark Ellis. You can get tickets there. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, to links to all the other stuff I do. In particular, I am more active on my YouTube channel. More stuff coming very soon. I've also refreshed my Patreon, so I'll be advertising that a little bit more. But if you're interested, I know it's a difficult time for everyone, but if you're interested in just checking it out, you can go to patreon.com/josephscrimshaw. I also want to continue to plug Vote Forward. This is an organization that lets you send letters to voters to encourage them to use their power and get out and vote. The midterms are coming up very soon. The mail date for all these Vote Forward letters is Saturday, October 29th. Ken is going to be doing comedy, and I'm going to be sending some letters. So if you are interested at all in checking it out, now is the time. You can go to their website, votefwd.org, to see if it's for you.
Good stuff indeed. Jennifer, take us home.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jennifer Landa, youtube.com/Jennifer Landa, where I've been posting weekly reviews of Andor and my Target shopping adventures in Star Wars. I'm also on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And this week, like Joseph, I want to highlight the midterm elections, which are on Tuesday, November 8th of this year. There is so much on the line, as there always is, democracy. A lot. And so, you know, you can find out if you go to canivote.org, you can register to vote there. You can check your registration status. You can find your polling place. You can get more info on absentee and early voting. So it's a great kind of resource for you on voting is canivote.org. And yeah, let's all get out there.
Get out there and vote, or I do it by mail, because why wouldn't you vote from sweatpants on your couch? You
could do that. Absolutely.
You could do that. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all that. We'll see you soon. This was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.